our voices. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you look at the latest crime statistics in D.C. compared to this time last year, things look pretty good. Crime is trending down, unless you look at the homicide numbers or talk to the members of the community where violent crime persists. Many of the homicides are caused by gun violence. What's being done to address that here in the District of Columbia? We're talking about it tonight. My guests are Ward 7 Councilman Vincent Gray, Gary Clark, CEO and founder of PEP Rally for Peace in the Streets in D.C., and Courtney Snowden, D.C. Deputy Mayor for Greater Economic Opportunity. What do you think? What needs to be done to address gun violence, particularly deadly gun violence here in the District of Columbia? I want to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining this conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much, Harold.
Thank you. Let me start with you, Councilman Gray. What do you think is the issue east of the river as it relates to gun violence and specifically deadly gun violence?
Well, some of these issues have been with us for quite some time. I mean, just the proliferation of guns, some of the challenges that we have in some of the communities in wards 7 and 8. And of course, what we've added to the array now is, of course, the opioid crisis, which actually we've got more opioid deaths now in the District of Columbia, not just here, but really across the country. Then we have homicides in the District of Columbia, and there's no question that the continued drug use, the continued proliferation of drugs, all of that is adding to the availability of guns, the use of guns, and the continued sale of drugs. It isn't as if these things are new. The opioid crisis, of course, has increased. The availability of drugs is not a new issue, but we live in a city where drugs are far too accessible. I mean, you look at the gun laws, for example, in Virginia, in Maryland, they're far more strict, more stringent than they are in other parts of the of the nation. Our gun laws are some of the most strict that are. Of any jurisdiction in America, but yet we still suffer from people bringing guns into the District of Columbia and from, areas that are more permissive, like Virginia. So, I know that Chief Newsom is working hard to try to get illegal guns off the street, but that's a real uphill climb.
Councilman Gray. Let me bring Mr. Clark into this conversation. Mr. Clark, your thoughts about what is at the heart of the issue of deadly gun violence in the district, particularly east of the river?
Well, first of all, let me say I concur with Councilman Gray that these are issues that are not brand new. They've been around for a while, and the causes are come from many different angles and areas. But we have a lot of people, and I'm in east of the river. I'm over on Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue in Southwest, and we're grassroots, PEP Rally for Peace. We see the people, we deal with them day to day, hand to hand, and people are pressured and depressed for many different reasons. Jobs. The city is doing a wonderful job at creating employment and opportunities and resources, but you can't compete with, like the councilman just said, with the guns coming in, the drugs and things of that sort. It has to be a stronger effort. And a lot of it comes with our young brothers and sisters waking up and wising up and understanding that we're destroying ourselves.
What do you mean by that?
Well, simply because there are many, I mean, if you look, and I said this earlier in a bite that, we're going backwards instead of forward in some ways, a lot of the thinking and destroying ourselves. I remember being here in the city during the times of the 60s and the riots and everything and how we turned, we thought we were expressing ourselves out of anger, but we destroyed a lot of things and properties and we had to get back. And the city is beautiful now, but the turnover and the way we've rebuilt buildings, we've rebuilt structures, we've developed greatly with material things, but how much have we developed with our inner city people and the people who really need the help and understanding of opening their minds?
Well, let's talk about that, Deputy Mayor Snowden, about developing the people. You were given the job of Deputy Mayor for Greater Economic Opportunity. You've been on this program before. You talked about bringing jobs east of the river. This isn't the murder capital of the nation now, but
right.
one murder is too many.
One murder is too many.
So from your perspective, how can this issue be addressed?
You know, I think so much brilliance has been shared on this in this discussion already. The reality is the mayor is very clear and focused in partnership with the council and community leaders from around the city on really digging deep and identifying solutions that will work for our people. What we're clear about, we knew this in 2015 when we saw a spike in violent crime and murder in particular and homicides, that we needed to rethink our approach to how we dealt with violent crime. And it couldn't just be an MPD-led strategy, but in fact had to be a strategy that focused on the issue of violence and homicide from a public health perspective. And so we engage at the mayor's direction almost every single agency in our government, but in particular the Department of Employment Services, the Department of Health, the Department of Human Services, the Office of the Chief Medical Examiner, and many, many others, with a real focus on making sure that we were developing a comprehensive set of tools that would be available to all communities, but communities in particular that have been the most impacted by violent crime. We launched the program called the DC Career Connections Program, which focused on providing 9 months of subsidized employment to young people ages 20 to 24 with a commitment that if they did more than just work and pursued education that led to a certification or a GED, that they could make more money and that we would help them find a job. We took a smaller cohort of those young people, more than 600. We took a smaller cohort of them, about 15, 20. We started with 21, and we helped to support them to do anti-violence work directly in their communities, hop on the Department of Employment Services Workforce on Wheels bus, partner with the Department of Human Services and their outreach team to get to the folks that government couldn't get to on their own. And it made a huge impact. And we saw.
How do you know that?
Well, we saw homicide go down in 2015. We saw a significant increase, and we saw the communities that were hardest hit by that type of violence impacted positively. The numbers started to decrease. Now, we agree that one homicide in this city is one too many. And that's not because it impacts one person, but it impacts a family, two families, potentially whole communities. And some of our families are dealing with significant trauma. And so the mayor's really worked hard to think about outside of the box about how we come up with even more solutions. So one of those is a partnership between the Department of Behavioral Health and the Metropolitan Police Department so that when someone presents with some mental health challenges or some issues, that they're not immediately arrested, but they are often given the services that they need. That's something we just rolled out. We're very proud.
Boy, you're talking so fast.
I'm sorry. I'll slow down. I just have a lot of good news.
Yeah, right. But and let me say, because I'm going to be honest with you. You sound like you're doing talking points.
No, I'm
so,
not.
But now, you just bring it on down for me because it'll run right over people's heads.
I
really want people to get this information. And to that point, the information that we're talking about tonight is deadly gun violence in the District of Columbia. And what's being done to address that? My guests are Ward 7 Councilman and former Mayor Vincent Gray, Gary Clark, CEO and founder of Pep Rally for Peace in the Streets in D.C., and our fast talker, D.C. Deputy Mayor Courtney Snowden. She's the D.C. Deputy Mayor for Greater Economic Opportunity. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I need to speak anecdotally. I was on MLK a couple of months ago, right up the street from the big chair.
In my office.
Right. And so with that said, you may have seen what I'm about to share. I was coming off of coming off of the hill, and I happen to look, and there's a construction going on right there. And I sat at that light, and it's a long light, and I looked at the men that were working on that site. There were no black men working there. They were all Hispanic. Nothing wrong with brown people working. But there were no black people working. And as I said, anecdotally, isn't that troubling that right in that community that has been historically black for decades, and that big project, and there are no black men working, no black women working there either?
Harold, if I can address that, that happens all throughout the city. There's a project over at St. Elizabeth, the restoration project, and they had some issues with the hiring of a proper number of citizens or residents in the city. And these things, I think the city has done a good job at shutting those situations down when they recognize it. You can't catch everything. There are individuals. We have to be realistic. There's reality and then there's theory. In theory, yes, we would love to see everyone working, everyone doing positive, whatever. That's just not reality. Some of these cats, guys have been in the situations they are so long, they don't want to work. And we have to try to find other ways, as the deputy mayor said, to reach them where they need to be reached at, and create programs and things that they will understand and they will reach out to. A lot of the guys, and I'm out there talking to them, a lot of guys, I'm not doing construction work. I'm not going to, you know, that's not there. And, but there are more numbers of them who say, yes, I'll take that.
So
that.
Which goes to my point, and I want to ask Councilman Gray, do you agree with what Mr. Clark is suggesting?
No, I think Gary makes some good points. He's always making good points. One of the things that we need to do as well is to make sure that it's not only people who are getting the job, but who's getting the contracts in the first place. That we've got to be able to promote African American businesses in the city. You know, we have several that have emerged over on the east end of the city in Ward 8, and we need to make sure we're tracking carefully the extent to which we're opening the doors for those entrepreneurial firms, those construction firms, those development firms, to be able to get those contracts. In the absence of them getting those contracts, it's going to be so much harder for people to get those jobs. And frankly, the more we open the door for those firms to get those opportunities, the more likely I think is going to be that people who are indigenous to those communities, people who live in those communities, people who are raised there, are going to get those jobs. You know, the other thing that we've got to do too, Harold, is to make sure that we continue to promote education. I mean, we talk about education all the time. Yet you look at some of the recent experiences, we've got kids who are graduating without the requisite skills. They've gotten diplomas that really don't demonstrate that they've got the skills that they need. So we've got to be able to continue to promote education. I'm one of the biggest proponents of early childhood education around. I am proud that as mayor I was able to establish what now is the most robust early childhood education program in America. That's where these kids learn. That's where they develop the relationships, the social skills that they're going to need to be able to connect as they move forward.
Let me take a call real quick, Councilman Gray, before I go to a break. Eric, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Eric. What's on your mind?
What we have here in D.C. as far as the murders, it has anything to do with the jobs. It's a disconnect with our youth in these poverty-stricken areas in these neighborhoods. Some of these kids are lost, and we have people in power that has no understanding of what's going on in these households and in these communities. We're giving contracts to all the wrong people who can say they can do this and do that, and they're not able to deliver on those contracts. And until we can get some people in these places that can get into these communities, that know these families, that know these kids, and that can help these kids, then we can stop the murder rate. It has nothing to do with employment.
Okay, thank you so much, Eric. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about violence in the district, specifically deadly gun violence in D.C. What's being done to address this issue? If you have a comment, if you have a question, I would like to hear from you. Lines continue to be open even after 7:30 at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What do you think the solution is? What do you think the problem is? A little bit of both. I definitely want to hear from you. I will let you address some of the things that you heard of Deputy Mayor Snowden, but I do need to take a break, and then we will come back. So if you are calling in, and continue to call in, please, because we will take your phone calls even after 7:30. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. And Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of your phone calls and more of this issue about gun violence in the district in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about deadly gun violence here in the District of Columbia. What is being done to address it? My guests are Ward 7 Councilman and former D.C. Mayor Vincent Gray, Gary Clark, CEO and founder of PEP Rally for Peace in the Streets in D.C., and Courtney Snowden. She is D.C. Deputy Mayor for Greater Economic Opportunity. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Deputy Mayor, please go right ahead.
Well, I have a couple. There was a lot in that moment.
Oh, I know.
One,
you got a lot.
I got a lot.
I know you got a lot.
You mentioned driving past the work site. We got to be careful when we talk about these work sites that we don't rely solely on what we see. And I recognize that you
said it was anecdotal. Yeah, anecdotal.
But a couple of things. One, the Department of Employment Services works incredibly hard to make sure that we are appropriately monitoring jobs and job sites. But I think the council member raised a really critically important point that we should really be focused on making sure that we're helping D.C. residents secure business from D.C. government. And the mayor's worked incredibly hard to do that with a couple of key initiatives. One that ultimately didn't get funded by the council in the budget, which is the local business utilization pilot program, which would have created a group of set aside contracting opportunities for resident owned small business enterprises. Those are the businesses owned by the people that we're talking about in part. With that program, we would have been able to even further see a meaningful impact. What we know is D.C.-based, D.C.-owned small businesses hire D.C. residents. And with this program, we would have been able to achieve that. So hopefully the council will revisit that over the year. We really do believe that we have a responsibility to help improve the quality of life in communities and improve access to opportunities, because we believe it is the lack of opportunity that leads us down the pathway to where violence occurs in our communities. But I do think the caller was right in that we do need to be incredibly thoughtful about the credible messengers and the partners that we engage across government to help us solve this problem. So as we've stood up the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement, which was a part of the NEAR Act, as part of our Safer, Stronger D.C. Effort, we are working with more than 18 new violence interrupters who have relationships in the community.
What does that mean?
We're working with people who have a significant amount of experience working in particular in the neighborhoods in the District of Columbia that have been the hardest hit by violence, to work primarily with communities and families that have been hard hit. They're doing that through case management, through direct support for employment, behavioral health, all and really responding to the various needs that each of those folks present to us with. The goal of that work is critical, though, because ultimately we know no one is interested in actually shooting a gun. People don't want to live in violent communities, even some who perpetrate violence. They're often looking for a way out. And so what we've done with the ONES office through these contracts and grants that we'll be putting out, and we actually got an additional $1.5 million in the budget.
Got to stop you.
Well, you got to stop me, but
No, because this is what I'm talking about here.
What are you talking about?
All of those things I think are great, but again, I'm talking in line of sight.
Yeah.
When we're seeing juveniles shooting people on subways. That's what we're seeing in the news.
That's the exception to the violent crime rule. This is an important to note.
Let me finish, because I need to go to the phones, and I'm gonna let you get it all in.
I promise.
I hope you interrupt the men too.
Absolutely.
He better.
Well, absolutely. Please let me not get into a gender conversation, because you know that I did stop Councilmember Gray,
mm-hmm.
because he was talked twice.
Mm-hmm.
My point is line of sight, and this goes back to people who are on the ground.
In the streets. As Jesus was.
Exactly. How do you deal with these very young people who are perpetrators of these crimes? Because when you start talking,
numbers actually don't pan out that way. Rise in violent crime between 25 and 29 year olds, and the other large chunk is 40 to 49 year olds. Isn't that interesting? But I think what's important to note is all violent crime, all homicides are bad, right? And so I don't want. But what I think is important is we have to look at sort of the facts of what's happening. Most of the violent crime and most of the homicides in the district have happened between people who know each other and have no violent past, right? They're people, the reason why some of this is happening is in part because of the significant access to illegal guns. And so what we've really focused on, this mayor in particular is really focused on, is making sure we can get at those illegal guns. We've increased the reward to $2,500, and DC residents and others can help by reporting those illegal guns that they see, whenever they're moving around the city or in someone's home. What I think is really important to note is that, the only way we're going to be able to meaningfully impact this problem is by getting the illegal guns off the street. And residents can help us do that by reporting illegal guns that they see at 202-727-9099, 202-727-9099. And they can get up to a $2,500 reward if an illegal gun is captured.
Darren, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Darren. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I want to say, I think the problem with the youth and the killing is that the youth, they're not scared to die, but they're scared to live. And when I say that, meaning they don't know how to walk away. Their buddy could call them or come up to them and say, hey, man, I'm beefing with John around such and such. They never ask why or nothing. Only thing they do is, oh, that's my buddy. I'm rolling with him. But you never know what your buddy did to cause drama or any conflict that aroused. Only thing you going off of is, oh, that's my homie. That's my buddy. He comes from around my way. But you never know if this guy went out and disrespected somebody's mother. He might have did something to somebody's mother. I'm not saying that that's right, but they never take the time to investigate on why something is going on. They're just so quick to jump off because that's my friend.
Okay.
But what they fail to realize, as soon as that person go, soon as one person dies, yeah, you put a memory up for a week or two, but after that, he's forgotten.
Okay.
For his family.
Darren, thank you so much. That's what I'm talking about.
If I can.
Go ahead. And then I want to go back to the deputy mayor and then Councilmember Gray, because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to get your message lost in translation when you're talking about numbers and statistics and money and programs. Because what Darren was talking about, those people don't understand money, statistics, and programs. So we got to understand how that stuff trickles down. But please go right ahead.
And that's what I wanted to address. I applaud the mayor and the deputy mayor Snowden and definitely past mayor and city council member Gray. The works that these people do is not easy. It's hard work. It's good. And they're more positive than negative. Let's keep real. At the same token, as the gentleman just said, the caller just said, where's the fear in dying? Where's the fear in stepping up? And how do we reach these young people on their turf, on their grounds, and getting them to understand that, there's harm. You're hurting, as the deputy mayor said, you're not just hurting that individual, you're hurting the community, the family. Everyone is being affected by these situations. And the gun situation, it is terrible, but guys, I want to say to those who are listening, y'all know Mr. Clark, hey, you're kings and queens. Kings and queens operate on a whole different level than which we are at this time. And yes, the gun control thing, stopping the illegal guns in the city, all of that is a beautiful thing. But until we as a people, we as young people, elders, especially elders, step up and talk and get out there and make your presence known to these young people and connect with them so there isn't a discord, then we start to see changes as it was in the past. There's a saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I watched this city turn over to peace and harmony after riots in many different situations when we were the murder capital of the city, and we came together and we worked together.
Mr. Gray?
Yes.
Go ahead. I want your thoughts about this portion of the discussion, please.
Well, you know, I was listening to the caller, and I think he makes a really good point. He talks about something that's been with us is age old, and that is peer pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and how many of our young people respond to situations in which they want to be accepted, they want to feel like they're a part of a group, and they go out and do things that may be, ill-advised, they may be illegal. And that's how so many of our young people get involved with gun situations and violence. We had a situation recently at the NoMa metro station where there was a young person who actually was trying to do something good. He was trying to stop a fight, a violence, and he wound up getting stabbed. It wasn't just guns. This was a case with knives. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing more of that kind of violence as well. So until we recognize that peer pressure is a huge, and recognize and intercede with peer pressure, which can be positive, by the way, we're going to continue to see this kind of violence. It's so many of our young people, especially, who get into these difficulties. And Deputy Mayor Snowden was right about, you know, we need to recognize it isn't just 17 and 18 year olds, but there are a lot of those kids who get into difficulty. But how do we influence these kids in positive ways so that peer pressure becomes an influence, in their lives? I saw one out on 45th Street near Idea Public Charter School just in the last few days, where a young man was across the street in an apartment building with another young man, and they were over there doing drugs, and they wound up getting into an argument, and one of the young men who was just there, I think because of the peer pressure, he wound up getting shot, you know, by one of the other young men who was in the building. So until we recognize that peer pressure is a huge influence, and not only an influence in a negative way, but it can be an influence in a positive way, mm-hmm. How do we turn that to our benefit? How do we turn that to the benefit of our kids? And how do we get our families to be a force in helping our young kids understand that? And to turn around some of their behaviors that are going in the wrong direction.
Deputy Mayor, that was leading to my next question as it relates to all of the things that you were saying and some of the things I didn't let you say. I'm serious. I'm very serious because when you have parents that are on the ground trying to make sure that their children are not statistics like we saw at Idea Public Charter School. Are they asking about programs?
They are asking about programs. I mean, I think sometimes we have to, we forget when we're talking to folks who work in government that we're also talking about D.C. residents, right? I am one of those parents who lives east of the river in a community that is impacted by violence. I remember one of the reasons why I'm in this job is because we heard gunshots outside of the front of my door, and my then 6-year-old son dropped to the floor. There's nothing more painful than that. I mean, there are things, but there's nothing more painful as a mother than watching your son react to something that he shouldn't have to even respond to growing up. And so I think all of us in this conversation think about these issues a lot. And of course, the mayor does, too. When we think about how we make investments to impact the problems that we're all talking about, that's how we have to think about it. Right. I remember when a 5-year-old was shot on Pomeroy Road just a few years ago. I was proud to cut the ribbon with the mayor of the D.C. Infrastructure Academy on Pomeroy Road, where we put $7 million into a training facility in a community hardest hit by violence. Why was that important? One, because when we went to the community and said, what do you need from us to make this better? They said, we need training in our community.
Training for
good paying jobs.
Okay.
And the DC Infrastructure Academy provides training for all of the infrastructure industries. All of them. WMATA, Pepco, Washington Gas, all partners. The average job, $50.56 an hour. Well, that changes lives. That improves communities. And if everyone on Pomeroy Road has the opportunity to access those opportunities, well, we can change a community. And that's what we're in the business of. The mayor wants us to be incredibly thoughtful about how we leverage all of the resources across government to solve what have been some really entrenched problems in our city. But ultimately, what we're talking about is how do we save people's lives? And we do it by giving them opportunity. We do it by giving them hope. And we do it by putting them meaningfully on the pathway to the middle class and helping them to achieve their wildest dreams that include home ownership, that include putting down the guns, that include positive peer pressure, as the council member talked about. And that's what we're really focused on in this administration.
Let me go back to the phone lines. David, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
Brother Harold Fisher, David Miller, how you doing?
Hey, sir? Dave, how are you? Go right ahead.
Got a lot to say, but I know a short amount of time. One of the strategies that I would like you guys to consider is that, number one, this issue is far bigger than government and policing. It is a community and a family issue.
Yes.
And I think one of the ways that if we're serious about addressing this is we really got to begin to build the capacity of grassroots organizations to be able to do some of this work.
Thank you.
And what you find across the country, many of the men and women who have the greatest capacity to intervene are unable to get funding. Many of these groups are 501c3. Many of them are LLC. Some of them may be faith-based. But what you find is a lot of the money is still tied up in policing, and then a lot of the large-scale grants, whether federal grants or philanthropic dollars, go to organizations that are not even producing the kind of outcomes that they have identified. And so I think a strategy that is really important is how do we begin to look at building the capacity of grassroots organizations in communities? And I'll hang up right there, and I'm interested in hearing what you guys have.
Hold on. I've got to take a break, and then I will let you. Yeah, well, you know, we do have bills to pay.
Wow.
Yes, we do. I'm going to take
the deputy mayor off again, Harold.
Apparently, and we're going to lose you, Mr. Gray, unless you're able to stay until 8 o'clock.
I'm going to stick around.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. We will be back in just a moment. As a matter of fact, we're going to shorten this commercial break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
MatchingDonors.com.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We continue to talk about deadly violence in D.C., specifically gun violence. I want to go back to our panel. Deputy Mayor, you wanted to respond to what David was saying about the role nonprofits are playing in our community.
We agree completely. And for the third year in a row, we have tried as hard as we can to get money directly into the community. As we were talking about in the break, some have worked, some have not worked. Though Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement, our safer Stronger DC effort is going to launch $1.5 million in additional funds directly to community groups through contracts and grants. We recognized, I think in year two, we helped organizations write grant proposals. We got an outside vendor to support our efforts with community groups. And still we ran into some trouble getting funds to the people we thought could get the work done the most immediately and effectively. And so we've changed the model one more time. We've improved it. And so we expect to see that money hit the ground in a meaningful way with people who have the experience and know how to interrupt violence in our hardest hit communities. I should just also mention the mayor announced Del McFadden as the head of the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. Del McFadden has had a long track record in our city, helping to interrupt violence throughout communities throughout the city. We're very proud to have someone who has such solid and good experience and credibility in communities and has also led these efforts, running this effort for us. We also increased the number of people, by more than 60% in the Office of Neighborhood Safety and Engagement. And what we know is that will also lead to us being able to more adequately, effectively, and efficiently connecting people directly to opportunities that will get them in a place to save their own lives.
Briefly, you said something. Briefly, you said that some situations or some things work and some things don't work. What works?
What I meant was some strategies we've tried worked, some haven't. So here's what we know works. Providing opportunities to residents, particularly those hardest hit by violence, targeting the 50 families who utilize or are impacted by 911 calls the most. That is, they either call or are called on the most, making sure that we're giving them direct services and support. We've done that for the last 3 years. That's made an impact. We've now expanded that. What we learned from that is that there were 50 folks who were the most at risk of being on the wrong side of the gun, or well, both sides of the wrong side, being on either side of the gun. Mm-hmm. And so really making sure that we are wrapping every single service we have around those young people has been a really important opportunity, and that we will see roll out. We've identified the first cohort of that 50 where we will give them a mentor. We will give them a violence interrupter, someone who can help them navigate government, a case manager, and we will get them connected to training and a job opportunity. Because contrary to some of what we've heard today from one person, just one person, an opportunity really does make all the difference. If we can get people in a job that will allow them to make as much money as they can make doing things that are illegal, they will do it. They will choose the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. They want to. And so that's really the work that the ONE's office will be doing and standing up over the next six months or so.
Marie, calling from D.C., what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Fisher. I'm really alarmed by this panel right here, and they're saying, well, you know what happened, and they don't want to work, or they're not educated. I have a son who works construction. We're a construction site, and the construction site, they brought in Hispanic workers. They deserve to work as well, but they were taken out of their construction site. For one, they worked for less money. For two, they were not proven to be D.C. residents, and that should be the priority. That's not the case. Also, I'd like to address the comment where we're setting up programs and training. You're setting up programs and training like, okay, in Ward 8, Furby Hope, you take training for this for 18 months or a year. They don't have a job. These training programs that you set up, they go to DEOS. When they take these 18 months or a year training, there are no jobs available behind that. So what do they fall back on? Hopelessness, which is drugs and violence, because that's what they know. How are you getting the information out? Are you getting this information out there, jobs at St. Elizabeth through churches? Are you walking around in these schools, these summer job programs that you have, where you have these kids in the summer going to the same old schools that they're just housing them? They're just sitting in there and collecting their checks at the end of the week. How are you training them? How are you getting them, you know, in their mind set to do something else when they come out of high school? You're not telling the truth.
Well, let me allow the deputy mayor to briefly address that, and then I'll go to our council member Gray, because he is an elected official. Please, deputy mayor, how do you get that word out?
So we work really hard to make sure that the word gets out. We have very few trainings that are that long term, and in fact, we actually pay residents to participate in some trainings and through apprenticeships. Obviously, those are paid training opportunities. We've really focused in the last 3 years on earn and learn opportunities. How can we connect people to an opportunity that pays as well as trains them for something? That's true at the DC Infrastructure Academy. That's true with the Project Empowerment, DC Career Connections, and of course the most well-known workforce program we have, the Marion Barry Summer Youth Employment Program. A program that we launched that we're particularly excited about in 2015 was something called the Aspire to Entrepreneurship Program, which is a program that helps returning citizens start their own businesses. What we found is a good number of folks who leave our city to go to prison come home, and they went because they already had some business acumen, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we are really focused on helping them turn what are good, solid business skills into legitimate businesses. Of the participants, all 100% of them have not recidivated. Not one has gone back to prison. 13 full businesses have been created with more than 40 employees, all district residents and people just like them. We know that we don't always get it right, but we're working hard to get it right every day. And what I would say is when residents see a program that they don't think is working or a job site where they think that district residents are being harmed, they need only pick up the phone. They can call my office at 202-545-3071. They can call on over to the Department of Employment Services. They can reach out to me on Twitter at DemGEO Snowden, and reach out and let us know what issues they're having, because this is what I will tell you. I'm a sixth generation Washingtonian. The mayor is a fifth generation Washingtonian. We are only in this business to help district residents, only in this business to help the district grow in a way that allows every single resident, no matter their zip code, to prosper in this town.
But let me get your phone number, because I want Councilmember Gray to respond, and then I have something I need to ask of Mr. Clark. But what's your number again?
02-545-3071.
3071. How can you get that information out in Ward 7, Councilmember Gray?
You know, one of the things that the points that the deputy mayor just made that I want to echo, and that is the entrepreneurial opportunities, being in charge of something. So many of our kids wind up in situations where they're not really in charge of anything. You know, and as perverse as it might be, sometimes being on the other side of a gun, you are in charge of something. you are in control of the circumstances to some extent that you're in, as perverse as it may be. I think we continue to look at our high school curricula here in the District of Columbia, we've got to figure out how we embed entrepreneurial ownership opportunities of being available to our kids. There is nothing that's more empowering than feeling like you are in charge of mm-hmm. something. You want to get the information out? Kids will get the information out themselves if they feel like they're being given an opportunity to be in charge, to be able to actually manage something. You know, some of the jobs that have been talked about in this conversation, they're great. They, as Deputy Mayor Snowden indicated, they pay very well. But at the end of the day, what does it lead to? It may lead to a better skill set, an improved skill set, a higher wage, but does it lead to young people being able to own something? And there's no greater sense of empowerment than actually feel like you own something yourself. And, you know, with so many of the experiences that have been talked about in this conversation where kids look at job sites and don't see people that look like them. Well, one of the ways of helping to be able to make sure, you know, they see people who look like them is making sure that the people who are running those experiences
look like
who
them.
Are in charge of them, who have an ownership stake, are people who look like them.
Amen.
And we've got to do more of that.
Yes, okay. Yeah. What is the next step in your mind, Gary, as far as dealing with this? And let me say, Marie, thank you so much for your phone call. What is the next step in your mind, Gary, in really developing some innovation from a grassroots level?
From a grassroots level, I'd have to say this. I watched individuals like Councilman Gray, our present mayor, and other city officials from time to time, but especially with Councilman Gray, come out into the streets, into the city, and get to us. So you have to be able to, like with Pep Rally for Peace, we know the individuals that are out there. You have to know them name. You can't knock on a family's door after the tragedy
That's
and
right.
say you know them and expect them to embrace you. You need to be knowing these people as these issues are developing, as they are each day. So when I come out of my house, I'm able to see the gentlemen who are out there every day panhandling or whatever. Hey, guy, here's a number to a place where you can get a job. And once they get to know you and get, that's how I became so close to Councilman Gray, because he allowed me to get to know him. And once these young people know you, because what they're hearing is, yes, you're making these programs, you're up in the office, you're down at the building, you're going to this meeting, but are you out here feeling what we're feeling? So the next step to me is to continue getting closer to know the young people, and not just the young people, adults, elders. We have a great thing. We work with CSOSA, with Returned Citizens, as you spoke about, and getting to know when they come out, as Councilman Gray just spoke, when they come out to our programs, we're not making them, what we're making them own. You're a production person. You're a part. This is your area. You own this. You know that is what you do. So when you walk away, you feel a sense of pride saying that I did something that was mine, even though I wasn't looked at as a returned citizen. I was looked at as an assistant production person. People, young people, old people, I don't care what age you are, everyone wants a sense of knowing that they've achieved and done something.
Right.
And that can
exactly
be done
right, Gary,
if we get out there and give them those opportunities.
Deputy Mayor, is there a website that has a list of all of the things that you spoke about and things you didn't have a chance
yes.
to speak about? And this is why I ask, because, you know, Marie was talking about getting the word out. I'm just a media person, but it would be really, really easy if there was one-stop shopping for everything that you listed.
Yes. So there are two places that folks can go. They can go to demgeo.dc.gov, demgeo.dc.gov. They can also visit DOES's websites. If they are a young person, they should go to youth programs under 24 years old. Anything else, they should go, they should click around the website and they will find a good number of our workforce programs. They may also just walk into one of our American Job Centers. They can go to the DC Infrastructure Academy on Pomeroy Road, to headquarters at 4058 Minnesota Avenue, to the AJC on South Capitol. There's one in Ward 1 as well. They can visit those centers and get connected to every program that I've spoken about today.
I need to roll out of here because we are out of time.
Yeah, fine. This
but,
is great.
But I do want to thank all of you, DC Deputy Mayor Courtney Snowden, of course, Ward 7 Councilman Vincent Gray and Gary Clark with Pep Rally for Peace in the Streets in D.C. Thank you all so very much. I appreciate you coming in and talking to us.
Thank you for having us, Harold.
Thank you, Harold. I appreciate it.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, May 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University.